Ibn Fager?
Yes.
Okay, tonight's shiur is dedicated to Tzvi Ben Fager, who should have a refuah shalema, especially this week's parsha where we have the famous Kelnor Rafan Allah. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalil that Miriam should have a refuah. May the bracha, the tefillah of Moshe in this parsha, very timely, affect all those who need a refuah shalema, especially Tzvi Ben Fager. Especially that we find ourselves still in the days of the Tashlumin of Shavuos. The Yom Tov of Shavuos is not over, because the Gemara tells us that if someone did not bring his korban on Shavuos, there were still 6 days after Shavuos to be mashlim and bring the korbanos of the Yom Tov. The Gemara compares Shavuos to Pesach and Sukkot. The pasuk says, which what we read yesterday, the second day of Shavuos, "Bechag haMatzos uvechag haShavuos uvechag haSukkos." The fact that the Torah compares all three Yomim Tovim, so just as Chag haMatzos has 7 days of Tashlumin, which is part of the Yom Tov, and so does Sukkos, so does Shavuos. Even though the Tashlumin of Shavuos is during the week, it's not Yom Tov now. There's no Chol HaMoed, but it's still a time for Tashlumin, and that's why many have a minhag not to say Tachanun until Yud Beis Sivan, which is the Siyam Yemei HaTashlumin of Shavuos, which is this coming Sunday. Today, everyone has the minhag, because today is Isru Chag, today was also Yom Tavuach, as the Gemara calls it, because most brought their Karbonos of Shavuos the day after Shavuos. It was practical for most who weren't able to do it on Yom Tov, they did it the day after. So we find ourselves in the days of Tashlumin of Shavuos, and we find ourselves in the week of Parshas Baha'aloyscha. Baha'aloyscha usually is read the Shabbos after the Shabbos after Shavuos. But this year, this Shabbos is not only the Shabbos after Shavuos, but it's also the Shabbos of Tashlumin, because the Shabbos is one of the days of Tashlumin, which continue into next week. So even though most years we try to find in this Parsha the lessons dealing with what comes after Shavuos is over, perhaps this year we have to look for lessons in the parasha that still pertain to Shavuos, because we're not finished with Shavuos. And as we'll see in this parasha, we're still connected to Shavuos in various ways. First of all, Rashi brings down in the beginning of the parasha where the Torah talks to us about the Leviim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu designates the Leviim, sanctifies the Leviim as substitutes for the firstborns who lost their rights to serve because of Chet HaRegel. So the Leviim were taken instead, Kohanim and the Leviim. And here we have a pasuk, which is only one of its kind, that has the word B'nei Yisrael mentioned in it 5 times. It's Perek Ches, of Baha'aloyscha pasuk Yutes. Vo'etano es ha'Leviim nesunim la'aharoim levanov mitoich B'nei Yisrael. Lavo des avodas b'nei Yisrael ba'el moed, v'chaper al b'nei Yisrael, v'lo yihye b'nei Yisrael, negef b'geshes b'nei Yisrael la'kodesh. Very unusual to repeat the noun over and over again. Usually you use the adjective. There's no reason to say the noun over and over again. It's not only a rule in English grammar, it's the rule lahavdil in Lashon HaKodesh as well. But yet here, the Torah repeats b'nei Yisrael over and over again, and Rashi comments and brings down from the Medrash, lo haydiach chibason. The pasuk is telling us the love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael, that they're mentioned 5 times in one pasuk, k'minyan chamisha chumshei toiru. Like the amount of the 5 chumashim, B'nai Yisrael are mentioned 5 times. Being that we find ourselves in the days of Shavuos, in the days of the Tashlumin of Shavuos, which is the Yom Tov that Hashem gave us the Torah, which the Torah consists of chamisha chumashim, B'nai Yisrael are mentioned over and over again in this pasuk. The special love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael is rooted in the fact that Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah on Har Sinai, the Chamisha Chumashim. So Klal Yisrael are mentioned 5 times. Yom Tov of Shavuos is the Yom Tov that we heard the Chamisha Kailos, as mentioned last week. The Gemara says, Kol HaMasameach Chasen V'Kalo Ki'ilu Zoichel Chamisha Kailos. Those are the 5 Kailos, and each Kail was connected to a different Chumash and connected one of the 5 chalakim of the neshama, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. We also have in this parasha the two psukim of Ayihi ben Isaiah ha'orain uvenucha yoimar, which are separated from the rest of the parasha, as we know the backwards nun that we have here before Ayihi ben Isaiah and afterwards, which separates the first part of the parasha and the latter part of the parasha, which the Gemara in Shabbos talks about. In fact, the Gemara tells us that if a person finds parchment with oisiyos from a Sefer Torah on it, he could only save it from a fire on Shabbos if it has 85 oisiyos, like how many words there are in Vayehi ben Isaiah ha'orein. Vayehi ben Isaiah ha'orein is considered a parasha by itself. And the Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Kuftas Zayin, the Gemara tells us that even though we're used to the idea that there are five chumashim, the Gemara says that there are actually seven, because Vayehi ben Isaiah is considered a parasha in itself, even though it is only 85 letters, two psukim. And Bamidbar until here is one parasha, and then after Vayehi ben Isaiah, until the rest of Bamidbar is another, so Bamidbar is split into three, together with the other four, there are seven. Chatz v'amudeh ha-shiva, the Gemara says, based on that pasuk, that there are really shiva shvi'im, chamisha chumashim, shiva shvi'iyos. It's interesting that the parasha begins with the menorah, which the menorah had seven candle holders, shivas haneirois, and the parasha ends how Klal Yisrael waited 7 days for Miriam. So we see, well, the number seven is certainly boilate here. And of course, every time we take a Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh, we say the words, we say the Pasuk, Vayehi ben Isaiah ha'orein. So the parasha is very much connected to Shavuos, connected to Matan Torah. But there's another issue here, there's another idea that we find in this week's parasha. First of all, the beginning, which the beginning of the parasha talks about the lighting of the menorah, where even though we learned about this already in Parshas Truma, and a little in Emor, here Hashem tells Moshe to tell Aharon that his special job, his chinuch in the Mishkan, so to speak, is going to be about lighting the menorah, because the other Nesiim brought karbonos and the Levim didn't. Aharon was upset. Hashem says, don't worry, your lighting of the menorah is even greater. And here the Torah talks to us a little bit again about the making of the menorah, v'zeh ma'aseh ha-menorah miksha zohav. And we know that this is the source for the Yom Tov of Chanukah. The Ramban says that Hashem was Menachem Aharon, Hashem comforted Aharon with the future Yom Tov of Chanukah. Because that Chanukah will always be with us, Haneris Halalu Einon Betelun Le'olam. Why is it that the Kriya of Chanukah is always Shavuos time? On Chanukah we read the end of Parshas Nasai and the beginning of Baha'u'llah Yisrael, and Shavuos always falls out during the time that we are reading in the Torah, Nasai or Baha'u'llah Yisrael, and this year, smack in the middle. Last week we read Nasai, and the end of Nasai in particular, which is what we lay on Chanukah, the Parashas HaNasiim, which we lay into Baha'u'llah Yisrael, where we talk about the actual lighting of the menorah. And this is the source for the Yom Tov of Chanukah, as the Medrash brings, that the Rambam brings from the Medrash. But it's not Chanukah now, it's Shavuos. And yet we're learning about Chanukah. The parasha ends, as we know, every parasha, the beginning and the end, are connected with the story of Miriam. Miriam Hanaviyah. Miriam, who was a prophetess at the age of six, as the Gemara says in Soita, for those who are learning the Daf Yomi, we just had it a few days ago, that Miriam was already prophesizing when she was 6 years old, and she told her father and mother, who had separated, that you are going to have a child who is going to save Klal Yisrael, and due to that, they reunited and they remarried, with a lot of fanfare, with a lot of publicity, as the Gemara says, and Aaron and Miriam were dancing by the wedding. And at the wedding, she was saying, Asida imi shetelet bein sheyoshia es Yisrael. My mother is going to have a child who's going to save the Jewish people, and is going to be the greatest Navi. And it's interesting that the psukim that tell us that Moshe was the greatest Navi are in here in the story of Miriam. Miriam is Zoicha, that even though this story is a little is derogatory because it talks about the so-called Lashon Hara of Miriam, but it's in this story at the end of the parasha that the Torah tells us the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy over the other prophets. And the parasha ends with a Kal V'chomer after Miriam spoke about Moshe. She was upset to hear that Moshe had separated from his wife. It's interesting that it's consistent with her Shita when she was 6 years old. She was the one who told her parents not to stay separated. She was the one who told her parents to reunite. She didn't like this idea of Prisha. And when she heard that Moshe Rabbeinu had separated, she spoke to Aaron about it. She said, we're also Nevi'im. We don't separate from our spouses. She didn't mean anything derogatory at all. She didn't mean anything negative. And yet, she was punished and she had to go away from the machane for 7 days, and she was a mitzvah ra'as, and Aaron begs Moshe to daven for her, which he does, and Hashem says to Moshe that if her father would have spit in her face, v'aviha yorak yorak b'faneha, and there are midrashim that say that he did, after Moshe was thrown, was put in the water, Amram was furious because he was upset. He said, how could it be that your nevius is not going to be fulfilled? He sort of gave up. He thought that meant that Moshe was going to drown. And Miriam was steadfast. Miriam was 100% sure that her prophecy will be fulfilled. Miriam had no doubt. She just wanted to see what the outcome will be. But she had no doubt that he's going to be saved. That is what happened. So Hashem says to Moshe, had her father, or some say that he did, spit in her face, she would be locked up for 7 days. I guess in those days it was customary, somehow as some sort of punishment. They would have to, for a week, they have to stay in timeout. So Tisoger Shivas Yomim Michutz LaMachane VeAchet Yosef. So even though for me, Hashem says, and that was what she did against me, it should really be 14 days. The Gemara says it's a Kal V'Chomer. But Dayoy Lavoy Menadin Liyoy Skanodoy, as we learn out from here, that okay, we're not going to make it more than seven. So Vatisoger Miriam Michutz LaMachane Shivas Yomim, and she was rewarded that v'ha'am lo'inosa ad he'osef Miriam. Everyone waited for her, the entire Klal Yisrael who was on their way. And as of now, they're going to Eretz Yisrael. They had not yet been told they're not going. So this delayed their entrance into Eretz Yisrael for another week to wait for one person, Miriam, until her tzara'as ends and until she's permitted to return into the Machane Yisrael. Everyone is waiting for her. And this was a reward to Miriam for her waiting at the Yor, when Yocheved had put Moshe in the box into the sea of, into the reeds, Matosim Basuf, Miriam waited there to see what's going to happen, and she made sure that Moshe will be safe. So because she waited for him, everyone waited for her. But it's not just that she waited for him. It's that she believed, she had emunah, she believed that he was going to be safe. Because she really wasn't doing anything, she was just standing there. She wasn't really protecting him. She didn't know what Basi was going to do. So she just stood there. The only thing she really does, as we'll see, is she runs to tell Basi that she knows someone who could nurse the baby. But otherwise, she's standing there. What's so special about her standing there? That teisatza v'achoysoi meirochik. Meirochik means from afar. It was so distant, it was like sort of impossible that anyone could fathom that this child will ever survive. Either he'll be eaten by a crocodile, or he'll die of starvation, or some Egyptian will dunk him in the water. What are the chances that he's going to survive? It's rochik. Yet, that heisatzav, she stood steadfast. She was 100% sure, her belief, her faith. She knew that what she said was a prophecy, and she believed therefore in her own prophecy. She didn't give up. Amram gave up, sort of. Amram said, forget. Heichon nevi usayich. He said, where's your prophet? He says, tofcha al poneh. He gave her a patch. And he said, where's your nevius? And he even punished her for that, according to some. But she was steadfast in her amun. V'atesatzav achoysoy meirochoyk l'deya maye osel. It doesn't say to see what's going to happen, to know. She knows for sure that he's going to be saved. She just wants to see, how is Hashem going to do this? What's going to happen that's going to save Moshe Rabbeinu? He's going to come out of the water and he's going to save Klal Yisrael, which is exactly what happened in a way that no one ever would have dreamt was possible. That the daughter of the very same king who issued the decree not to kill all the babies is the one who actually pulls him out of the water and brings him home and adopts him, and he actually grows up in the lap of the king. The king doesn't even realize that his stepson is the very Moshiach Shal Yisrael. That he was told by his stargazers that's going to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So the parsha begins with the Menorah. The parsha ends with the story of Miriam. Batadabe Miriam v'aharon b'Moshe. And although Miriam becomes a leper, she's healed. And Klal Yisrael continue to travel on after she's permitted to return into Machane Yisrael. The ha'am le'nosa ad he'osef Miriam. What does this have to do with Shavuos? If this is the Shabbos after Shavuos, and we're in the Gemara Tashlumen of Shavuos now, and especially it's the end of the parasha, we know that the Shabbos after a Yom Tov, especially Shalosh Shudas time, is the time when the Yom Tov has an Aliyah, this year even more so, because the Gemara Tashlumen continue into next week. But perhaps we can connect this to what the Gemara speaks about there in Saita. And those who are learning the Daf Yomi, the Gemara talks there about what the Pasuk says when Yocheved and Amram remarry, the pasuk says, "Va'yelech ish mi beis Levi, va'yikach es bas Levi." And the Gemara, the Balaturim actually connects this phrase to a phrase in what we read the second day of Shavuos in Rus, where in Rus it says, "Va'yelech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda." It says here, "Va'yelech ish mi beis Levi, va'yelech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda." What's the connection? From both stories came out a redeemer. From here, "Va'yelech ish mi beis Levi," Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the Goel Rishon, the first redeemer. From the story in Rus, "Va'yelech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda," you have Boaz marrying Rus. They have together a child, Oyvei, the grandfather of David. "V'yishai hoilet as David," David Malkam Mashicha. David, who begins the Geula process, as the Rambam says, that there are two Mashichim, David and Mashiach ben David. So from "Va'yelech ish mi beis Levi," the Goel Rishon emerges, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Noisein HaTorah, the one who gives us the Torah on Har Sinai. And the Gemara says, who gets the credit for this? Miriam. "Va'yelech ish mi beis Levi," with "Va'yelech sheholach ba'atzas bitoy." He followed the advice of his six-year-old daughter. And as a result of her advice, he remarries Yocheved, and Moshe Rabbeinu was born. The pasuk actually tells us before that Miriam had Yiras Shamayim. "Vayehi ki yoru hamiyaldoi seso elokim." They had Yiras Shamayim, and they didn't listen to Paroi, and they didn't kill the babies. "Vayas lahem batim." What was the reward, says the Gemara? "Kahuna and Leviya from Yocheved, and Malchus comes from Miriam." How does Malchus come from Miriam? So the Gemara says that Miriam married Kolev. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. Miriam is called Azuva. She was very sick. She was very ugly at a certain time in her life, and no one wanted to marry her. The Gemara talks about it. The Midrashim speak about it. Miriam had a very difficult youth. Kolev marries her. And from Kolev is from Yehuda, comes Malchus Beis David, David HaMelech. It's a question, because really, David comes from the brother of Kolev. The Mefarshim speak about it, but it's that family. So Malchus is from Miriam. The pasuk actually tells us that Miriam had a different name, which was, some say, the Egyptian name of Miriam that was given to her by Pari, but the Torah quotes the name Pua. Yocheved is called Shifra, and Miriam is called Pua. What does Pua mean? Pua means to talk, to soothe, to coax. But it means speaking. Her job is to talk. Yocheved would beautify the child, would clean it when it was born, like every baby when it's born has to go through a cleansing process. And Miriam was the one who spoke to the child. Her job was to talk. Miriam is the talker. And that's why it was so serious, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktekim atzadikim kechut hasa'ora, that Miriam, who is the Pua, Miriam who is the Neviya, a Navi comes from the word Niv, which means to speak. Miriam is the Pua, Miriam is the Neviya, and that's why Miriam was held on such a high pedestal that what she spoke was considered Lashon Hara. For no one else would that be Lashon Hara. She didn't mean anything derogatory, she didn't say anything which was a gnus. On the contrary, what she was saying was the unbelievable maila that Moshe Rabbeinu was on, which she recognized. But yet it's still considered, for someone on that level, for someone who's a Pua, for someone who's a Neviya, for someone who's so careful in the Shmiras HaPeh, that was considered a sin, which she had to go through the tzaras in order to be healed and in order to receive rectification for what she did. But yet from her we learn out the severity of Lashon Hara. Zochair eis asher osa Hashem alekecha leMiriam baderech betzaisecha mimitzroyim. Miriam was zoicha that from her we learn out the severity of Lashon Hara, the severity of Shmiras HaPeh. And one cannot utilize the mouth, whether it's to praise Hashem, whether it's to learn, to daven, unless the mouth is clean. If the mouth is not clean, then you're using a utensil that is contaminated. How can you serve Hashem with a contaminated utensil? And the mouth is a utensil. It's a clay kodesh, as Sfarim tell us. There's machlokes in the Gemara. What day was it that Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the river? What day was it? So the Gemara brings two shitas there in Saita. One is that it was the 21st day of Nisan, which is Shvi Shal Pesach. One is it was Shavuos. The shita that it was Shavuos makes sense. Moshe was born Zayin Adar, and it says Vatitzpenehu Shloisha Yerachim. So after 3 months, count 3 months, you're up to Zayin Vav Zayin Sivan. That was Shavuos. The story of Basya with Moshe Rabbeinu in the water and being taken out of the water and being brought to his mother was all on Shavuos. The other opinion is no, it was Chaf Aleph Nisan, so the Gemara yes, but if he was born Zayin Adar, how does it fit? So the Gemara says it was a leap year, so it was Zayin Adar Rishon, and we're not talking about full 3 months now, we're talking about most of the 3 months, so therefore it was Chaf Aleph Nisan. Everything in the Torah is exact. And the Gemara tells us over there that the moment that Moshe Rabbeinu was placed in the water, that saved Klal Yisrael. The Gezerah was over. The stargazers came running to tell Paroi that that one that you're worried about was just put in the water. Don't worry. The Savior of the Jews has just drowned. That's how they understood it from the way they studied the stars. Of course, they were wrong. And Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't supposed to drown. He was going to die because of water, which incidentally, the main Meriva happened the day that Miriam passes away. As we read in Parshas Chukas. So Miriam has to do with that too. But they thought, from the way they understood the shape of the stars, that Moshe Rabbeinu had been put in the water, which he was. I mean, he drowned. Therefore, you could tell the Jews they don't have to kill their babies anymore. So the Jews were able to sigh relief. That's why it says, "Vatoimer miyaldei ha'ivrim zeh." Basia said, this child is Jewish. This, veloy acher, not another one. There wasn't any other. He was the last one. So it comes out that the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was put in the water, saved Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was saved at that time from that gezeira of the killing of the babies. And that's what happens later on. There are actually two hatsalas from Mitzrayim. There's the physical and there's the spiritual. Physically, when were we saved from Mitzrayim? On Shvi Shel Pesach. Not the night of Pesach. The night of Pesach, Mitzrayim was still alive and well and kicking. We weren't saved from them. They still ran after us. What's the day that Klal Yisrael were able to sigh relief, that we don't have to ever see any Egyptian again, we don't have to deal with Mitzrayim again, as we say in davening every day, Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim meisal sefas hayom, vayiru ha'ames Hashem, vayaminu ba'Hashem of Moshe Avdei, that was Chaf Aleph Nisan, that was Shvi Shel Pesach, and as a result of that, they said Shira, the Peh, they sang to Hashem, they said Oz Yashir. In fact, there's a medrash that they bring down on this pasuk that through this child there's going to be the zeh keli v'anvehu, that this child that's going to be taken out of the water, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, is going to bring Klal Yisrael to his galus alakus, that they're going to see the Shechina. And it's interesting, the same thing happens here. Basya sees the Shechina here. Batiftach batirehu es hayeled, says Rashi, also from the Gemara, she sees the Shechina with the child. Yes, and this day, Chaf Aleph Nisan, later in history, Shvi Shel Pesach is the day when Ro'asa Shivcha al Hayam, Mashalei Ro'u Nevi'im. So according to the opinion that it was Chaf Aleph Nisan, Moshe is taken out of the water, no Jew has to be put in the water again, Klal Yisrael are saved, Shvi Shel Pesach later on becomes the day when Klal Yisrael are saved, and who is singing Shira together with Klal Yisrael? Moshe is singing for the men, Miriam is saying Shira to the women, Vatan Lohem Miriam, Shiru LaHashem Ki Go'i Go. Miriam is being rewarded then. In fact, her prophecy, that prophecy that she prophesied, Asida Imi Shetelet Bein, the day that it happens is Shvi Shel Pesach, because that's when Vayosha Hashem, Moshe becomes the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, where everyone could actually say, yes, Vayah Yisrael is Mitzrayim Meis, Mitzrayim is no longer a threat. That was Shvi Shel Pesach. So Miriam's prophecy becomes fulfilled on Shvi Shel Pesach. In fact, that's where the Torah calls her a Neviah. That Tikach Miriam, Hanaviyah, Achois Aharon, that's Atoit B'yad, that was said on Chaf Aleph Nisan, Shvi Shel Pesach. So according to that opinion, it's very good that Moshe Rabbeinu was taken out of the water on Chaf Aleph Nisan. But that's only physically. The day that we were spiritually saved from Mitzrayim, the day that Poska Zuhamosam, the day that Mitzrayim is no longer a threat, Beruchnius is Shavuos. When Hashem says, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, you're now out of Mitzrayim, Begashmius and Beruchnius. You are no longer avodim to Mitzrayim, to Paroi, to any entity, to anyone, but only to me. Choras al haluchos, al tikri, choras al cheirus. That was Shavuos. So Shavuos was the final hatsala of Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, from the Mitzorim Ugvulim, from the Mitzrayim, not only Begashmius, but also Beruchnius. And that's the other opinion, that Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the water on Shavuos, and he was taken out the very same day. And perhaps this is a remiss to that we eat dairy on Shavuos. Doesn't mean necessarily it has to be a cheese or milk. It's the idea of cholov. Cholov, which is white, which is midas hachesed, as the Sfarim tell us. Dam nekar v'nasa cholov. The Magen Avraham brings down that milk is originally blood, that the blood decomposes and it turns into milk, which is white. The blood is midas hadin. Blood is all the midas ra'ois are in the blood. And then the 7 weeks of Sfira that we work on ourselves, we turn the blood into milk. And here we find that Moshe Rabbeinu, after he was taken out of the water, Basia brings him to all the Egyptian women that had little babies and says, please nurse this baby. I'm sure you'll be able to nurse it. Why not? You're nursing your own. This baby looks like it's starving. It's crying. And that one Egyptian mother is able to nurse the child. He will not open his mouth. They say that's why he became later a kvat peh. And he touched the hot coals, which burnt his lips. That was a kapara because his lips had touched the Egyptian women, even though it wasn't willingly, but because even that he did a kapara for. So the Gemara brings down, which Rashi quotes here, the peh that's going to speak with the Shekhinah should nurse from Egyptian women, chas v'shalom, even though halachically it says it's okay, but Baruchnias, this is the one who's going to give us the Torah. This is the mouth that's going to speak with the Shekhinah. And when did he start speaking to the Shekhinah? The actual day that Moshe Rabbeinu becomes the Navi, that becomes the one who delivers us the Torah, is Shavuos. So how can such a child nurse from Egyptian women? So therefore, that's when Miriam steps in, and Miriam says, I know the right person to do it. And Miriam runs to get Yocheved. So Moshe Rabbeinu is nursing milk from Yocheved on Shavuos. And it's kosher milk, and this itself teaches us the Kedusha of Torah. Torah is so holy that the mouth of one who teaches Torah, the mouth of one who learns Torah, cannot even nurse from a woman who is not Jewish, even though perhaps halachically the food is kosher and so on. And that perhaps could be a remiss to that we eat dairy, to remember that Moshe Rabbeinu had to nurse from his mother and not from anyone else. In fact, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, which happens to be the Haftarah of Shemais in Yeshaya, as mi yoyred deyav, as mi yavin shumua, who has a right to teach Torah? Only someone who's gemule mechola v'atike mishodayim, only someone who's removed from the milk of the non-kosher women. Gemule mechola v'atike mishodayim. So this was on Shavuos. And Miriam plays a very important role here. Miriam is standing there. Miriam makes sure that Moshe Rabbeinu gets kosher milk. And Miriam is zoichet to see her nevius being fulfilled now and then later, of course. Now and then later on Shvi Shel Pesach and eventually on Shavuos, when Moshe Rabbeinu becomes the one who speaks to Hashem. Peh el peh adaber boy. That phrase, peh el peh adaber boy, is found at the end of this week's parasha. When Hashem is telling Miriam, you know who you're talking about? You're talking about one who speaks to me. Peh el peh. He has a holy mouth. You know it. You're the one who brought him to your mother. He would nurse from the others. Pe'el pe'a da'ber boy. Moshe has kedusha in his mouth. And therefore Miriam, who is the pua, the nevi'ah, is being scolded that she sort of gossiped here. There was a little bit of a lack of zahiris and shmiris ha'peh. And therefore Miriam is the role model. From her we learn the zahiris of Lashon Hara. As the Chofetz Chaim brings down what we learn out in the Zohar, is Hashem Osa Hashem Alekech the Miriam. What is it doing here? Because the parasha begins with the menorah. The menorah, as we know, is the vessel in the Mishkan that symbolizes Torah Shebal Peh. The Aroin is Torah Shebiksah, that housed the Luchos in the Sefer Torah. What's the Menorah? The Menorah had six Konim coming out of the middle. Shisha Konim, that's the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. The Menorah is Torah Shebal Peh, and they face the middle. The middle they say is Torah Shebiksah. Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebiksah go together. And it's called Torah Shebal Peh. It's studied by mouth, it's studied orally. Originally it was not written, unlike Torah Shebiksav, which was written and has to be written, and you have to read from the text. Torah Shebal Peh is memorized, and it's read orally, it's Peh, Malchus Peh, Torah Shebal Peh. Miriam was Zeicha, that out of her comes Malchus. Malchus is David HaMelech. David is the Ne'im Zmirais Yisrael. David is the sweet singer of Klal Yisrael. If there was anyone who utilized his mouth to praise Hashem all the time, of course it was David. David was the greatest in Shirais V'Sishbachas every day, every Jew, the millions of Shirais V'Sishbachas that I said every day by every Jew in davening and Tehillim. It's all from David HaMelech. As the Gemara says, that Rus wasn't really her name. Her name was Gilis. Why was she called Rus? Because David came out of her, Sherivuhu, LaHashem b'shirais v'sishbachas. Revuhu means to satiate, revoya. That he, David, satiated Hashem with all the praises that he praised him in Tehillim, all the Tehillais v'sishbachas, which of course are said in the davening every single day. So David is the role model. David is the peh David we know is Malchus. David is the seventh of the seven Rayim, of the seven shepherds from Avraham till David. David is the Melech. And Malchus, as we say in Pasach Eliyahu, Malchus is Peh. Malchus Peh, Torah Shabbat Peh. That's why the Menorah has seven Neirais, corresponding to the seven Sphirais, to the seven Rayim, which is Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and David. And David's Yahrzeit is on Shavuos. It's interesting that Rus has 85 psukim, k'mispar peh. The whole Rus leads to the Yishai Hoilet as David. David is the 85th word. David is the last word of the 85th pasuk, which is peh. Peh is 85. And Rus is called Rus because David comes out of her, she'rivuhu la'Hashem b'shirayis v'sishbachayis. And who does David come from? From Miriam. Miriam brought David into the world because Miriam feared Hashem and did not listen to Paray, v'yaslahem batim. And because Miriam, v'yelech ishmi beis levi, Miriam advises her parents not to stay separated, to remarry, her reward is, v'yelech ishmi beis levi, leads to v'yelech ishmi beis lechem Yehuda, the whole story of Bayah, Elimelech and Bayah's leading to the Yishai Hoilet as David. That's the connection. These two Vayelech Ish all originate from Miriam. Miriam brings us David HaMelech, Miriam brings us Moshe Rabbeinu, Miriam brings us Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Moshe is the Av of Torah Shebiksav. David is Torah Shebaal Peh in a way, because David is the Meshoirer, David is the sweet singer of Klal Yisrael. Shavuos, we received the Torah Shebiksav. Chanukah was the Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh. As the Gemara says that Purim was the last Yom Tov to be written in history, to be written in Tanakh. So the Gemara asks, but there's a Chanukah that came afterwards. So the Gemara says, Chanukah does not say in Tanakh. It doesn't even really say it in Mishnayos either. It's Torah Shebaal Peh. As the Sfarim say, my Chanukah, the Tana Rabbanon. The whole Chanukah is Tana Rabbanon. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's why Chanukah is hinted in the Menorah. And Torah Shebiksav must go together with Torah Shebaal Peh. There cannot be Torah Shebiksav without Torah Shebaal Peh. That was the chait of the Tzedukim, who only accepted Torah Shebiksav. They didn't accept the Torah Shebaal Peh. And we see this here, where Shavuos always falls out in the weeks that we are laning, whether it's before or after, but it's always in the vicinity, in the proximity of Nasayan B'Haloizcha. And this year it's more boiled. This year it's more prominent because it's smack in the middle between Nasa and Baal Oyscha. As we're celebrating Shavuos, when we receive the Aseres HaDibrois and Torah Shebiksav, we are learning here about that which we read on Chanukah, which is the Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh. In fact, we end off Nasa with one of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, Uvavoy Moshe El Oyhel Moyer, as Rashi says, Shnei Ksuvim Achishim Zeh. This is one of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, which is Torah Shebaal Peh. We end off this week's Parsha with a Kal V'Chaymer, which is the first of the Yud Gimel Midos, which also we have to come on to Torah Shebaal Peh in order to make a Kal V'Chaymer, in order to the idea of Dayoy Lov Abin Adin Liyoy Skanodoin. So here we see not only the connection between Shavuos and Chanukah, we also see the connection between the beginning of the parasha and the end of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha is about the Menorah. The Menorah symbolizes Torah Shebaal Peh. Those are the six stems that emanate from the Menorah. Shishakonim, Shishasidrei Mishnah. But Torah Shebaal Peh can only be learned by one who has a Peh Noki, one who has a Peh Kodosh. The parasha that starts talking about the Menorah, which is symbolic of Torah Shebaal Peh, which we received on Chanukah, that parasha ends with the story of Miriam, who because of Atadaba Miriam v'aharein b'moshe, and as a result of the tzaras that Miriam was afflicted with, we learn from here the severity of Zocher Eis Asher Osa Hashem Alekechol and Miriam Baderech B'tzeisach Ami Mitzrayim. Miriam was nifter on the day that May Meriva takes place. According to what we see in Chumash, what seems to be the opinion of most of the Mefarshim is that the very same day that Batamos Shom Miriam in Parshas Chukas, V'lehoyo Mayim Lo Eida. And it doesn't say why Miriam had to die, and most say that Miriam really wasn't supposed to die. She wasn't part of Chet HaMeraglim. She wasn't part of Chet HaEgel. And she was married to Kolev, who wasn't part of Chet HaMeraglim. He's one of the Meraglim that did not speak ill about Eretz Yisrael. Her Misa was a Kapara. But that very same day led to the Chet Me Meriva, which as a result of Chet Me Meriva, we lose Moshe and Aaron. And perhaps there's a stain a little bit of that, which we read about at the end of this week's parasha, the dibur, that Vatadab and Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe, that Miriam speaks against Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, Miriam is the one who brought Moshe into the world. Miriam brings Moshe into the world, and sort of Miriam's death, as a result, takes Moshe out of the world. Moshe Rabbeinu has to leave the world because of the story that happens as a result of the death of Miriam, because there's no water, and he's told to talk to the rock, and he hits the rock. As a result, we lose the three, Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam. That's the day that the stargazers of Paroi missed. When they saw that Moshe is going to die as a result of water, and they thought it meant that he's going to drown, which is why there was a gezeirah that all the children, up until Moshe was placed in the water, had to drown. And it ends when Moshe is put in the water, but it was all a toast, because what really happens is that Moshe Rabbeinu has to die or not go into Eretz Yisrael as a result of water, but not because of water, that which is the Chet Mei Meriva. And the Chet Mei Meriva happens on the day of Miriam's passing. So again, Miriam is connected. Miriam is connected to the loss of Moshe Rabbeinu. And in fact, if not for the story here of Miriam's Lashon Hara, Chet HaMeraglim perhaps would not have been as severe. We know that the story in the next week's parasha with the Meraglim is a continuation of the story of Miriam. That, as Rashid quotes, because she was punished for speaking the way she did, they should have learned from that. Rishoyim halalu ro'u v'leilakhu muzar. They should have learned from Miriam the severity of talking negative, even talking negative against Eretz Yisrael. Talking negative, even if it's not a person that you're talking about. And such talk, which wasn't really negative talk at all, but yet from there we see the severity of talk, of unnecessary talk, or negative talk. And that story of the Meraglim leads to Klal Yisrael having to stay in the Midbar another 38 years, and because of that, we lose Moshe Rabbeinu. Because had we not delayed our entrance into Eretz Yisrael because of Chet HaMeraglim, the story of Mei Meriva, the Pashas, would not have happened. So it begins, really, with the story of Miriam at the end of this week's parasha. This is the Yerida, which after Shavuos, especially after the Tashlumen of Shavuos, we enter the Yerida of Zman, starting with especially Chaf Sivan. Chaf Sivan was the day in the Polish community, by the Polish Yidden, they fast, they say Slichais. Many were killed during the Gzeiris of Tach V'Tat, I believe it was, on Chaf Sivan. In certain communities, they have a whole list of Slichais that they say. Chaf Sivan. And of course, then comes Tammuz and Av, the difficult months of Tammuz and Av, the months of Churban. After Shavuos, there's a Yerida. But yet the name of the parasha is B'ha'aloyscha. B'ha'aloyscha means when you go up. A Jew has to constantly ascend. There is no going down, no matter what. Even when in time it seems we're going down, a Jew is still going up. And on the contrary, the fact that in time there's a Yerida gives us another opportunity to pass the tests. That although we have to deal with the Yerida in Zman, it's very hot outside, that the Nesyonos are amazing, and there's a tremendous Yerida in the world in general, Bechlal at this time, yet a Yid has the power to be oil and have Aliyas, more so even than Yom Tov time, more so even than when it's bright. The Aliyah that one can reach during a time of Yerida, when it's difficult, is much, much greater than any other time during the year. And right now we enter that Yerida of Zman. After these days, after the days of the Aliyah of Shavuos, after the days of the Tashlumen, we take the Torah that we learned, the Torah that we received on Shavuos, the great light of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which we have now this week, also the light of Chanukah. And this week we have Shavuos and Chanukah together. Someone who would walk in now would think, this is ridiculous, what's this guy saying, what's he talking about? It's not Chanukah now. Surely it doesn't feel like Chanukah now. But it is, because whatever you read in Torah at that time, that's what it is. The Torah is the balabayas over Zman. And what you lane in the Torah, the fact that we're laning now, that which is read Chanukah time, means Chanukah is visiting us now. As we're in the midst of the Tashlumen of Shavuos, we are visited by Chanukah, and Chanukah complements Shavuos. In both Yomim Tovim, we eat dairy. The only two Yomim Tovim that we eat dairy, that there's a minhag to eat chalav, gvina, cheese, whatever the minhag we have, is only Shavuos and Chanukah time. But Shavuos and Chanukah are related in the fact that Shavuos is Torah Shebiksav and Chanukah is Torah Shebal Peh. Shavuos is the Arayin, Chanukah is the Menorah. The last pasuk of Parshas Nasai is Uvavoy Moshe El Oyel Moyed Ledaberitoy Vayishmaes HaKoyel Midaber Elov Me'al HaKapoyres Hasher Al Arayin HaEdus. That's the Arayin. That's what Hashem speaks to Moshe. That's Torah Shebiksav. That's how Nasai ends. And Baal Oyscha, which right away we enter, talks about the menorah. The Aron and the menorah are connected here with Nasai and Baal Oyscha. Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh, which of course the two, Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh, are going to bring us to the ultimate Geula, as the Zohar says, that the Geula will take place on Shavuos. And we're still in the days of Shavuos. It's still the Tashlumen of Shavuos. If you take the two words, Nasai and Baal Oyscha, and you add them up, Nasai Baal Oyscha is Begematria Mashiach B'miluoy. That means Mem, Mashiach is Mem, Shin Yud Nun, Yud Vav Dalet Ches Tov. That's 878. That's Nasai Baal Oyscha. The two together, these two parashiyos take us to Mashiach. These two parashiyos, Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh, that which we read Shavuos time, and we have visited by Chanukah, which we all know that Chanukah is the Oiroi Shel Melech HaMashiach. Chanukah is the Yom Tov in which we get a taste of the light of Mashiach. That's why Chanukah is 8 days, and Shavuos is the first day of the 8th week. Shavuos is in the 3rd month from Nisan. Chanukah is in the 3rd month from Tishrei. Kislev is Begematria Sivan. The 2 months even are equal to each other. Kislev is equal to Sivan. In Sivan, we receive the revealed part of the Torah. In Kislev, the Panemius, or Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh. Chanukah is the Yom Tov in which the Oirei Shel Melech HaMashiach is revealed, which, as we read at the beginning of Chumash, Vayara Lekim Es Ha'or Ki Toiv Vayavdel. Es Ha'or Ki Toiv is Begematria Or Melech HaMashiach. And that's, of course, the Oir of Chanukah, Es Ha'or Ki Toiv Vayavdel, which is Begematria Chanukah 8 times. And as it says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was put in the river, it says, when he was born, rather, Vatera Oisai Ki Toiv Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Toiv. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who gives us the Toiv, the one who gives us the Torah, Torah Shebiksav, and even Torah Shebal Peh, which everything is rooted in the Torah, and even the Torah of Mashiach is rooted in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the same Torah, of course. It's not Chas V'Shalom, a new Torah. Zois had Torah Leitahim Uchlefes. Moshe, we know, is the Goyal Rishon. Moshe is also the Goyal Acharon, which we read, we finished. On Shavuos, we read V'yishai Hoilet as David. We now have David. David has been authenticated. David is allowed Lavoi Bakohol, my Avi V'loi my Avis. And that, which means, of course, that Bias HaMashiach is now a reality. And it has to happen. And it's going to happen. And we should be Zeichet in these days of the Tashlumen of Shavuos to continue to commit ourselves, of course, to Torah learning and to living a life of Torah, and of course to the ultimate Torah Seishal Mashiach that we should all receive in the Heir of Yameinu. Have a good evening.